Mellifluous is a sound that is pleasingly smooth and musical to hear. That's why, as some scientists would tell you, some doctors would tell you, if you're having trouble sleeping, listen to a cool, good music. Classical music is always a fan favorite when it comes to those kind of scenarios. Now, did you also know that it is illegal? Illegal. This is very funny. So many things I get to find out these days. It is illegal to own just one guinea pig in Switzerland. It is considered animal abuse because they are social beings and they get lonely. Can you imagine? This is a country where the feelings of animals are actually taken into consideration. Yes. Now, this one should very well interest those of you who are science students or maybe history students. The first airplane flew on the 17th of December, 1903. 17th of December, 1903. Wilbur and Orville Wright made four brief flights to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, with their first powered aircraft, aka the first aeroplane. So why am I sharing all these facts with you? Well, most of these facts, some of them, if I'm honest, I got to know when I was in primary school. A good number of them I got to find out when I was in primary school, and that was because I had a very energetic, very eclectic, musically speaking, teacher. His name is Uncle George. I say is because I don't want to believe he's passed on. I don't know if he has passed on. But if you are by chance listening to us right now, listen to me right now, and you were in Tantwa back, in those days, in the Lekai Housing Estate, or you remember Uncle Eric also from Burton Primary, these two teachers left an imprint on my life that is indelible. I cannot, in all honesty, forget them. I remember how they look, how they will scowl, how they'll carry their canes, and threaten to flog us if we're doing something wrong. That is, ladies and gentlemen, the power of the teacher. Now, today, 2022, Nigeria has been listed among African countries whose citizens can now apply for qualified teacher status through the Teaching Regulation Agency in the UK. From, guess what? February 2023, exactly 2 months from now. Now, other foreign countries which offer extends to include our cousins in Ghana, Hong Kong, India, Jamaica, Singapore, South Africa, Ukraine, and Zimbabwe. Interesting, these countries that were mentioned. So my question is this: would the option of working abroad lure Nigerian teachers? We've seen doctors for over three decades leave these shores to go to Saudi Arabia, to go to UK, to go to the US to practice medicine. Nurses have been quietly living in their droves this past 25 years. We've also seen engineers, architects also relocate from this country. And now, in 2022, there was an estimated 1,000 plus IT specialist who left the shores of Nigeria to go and work abroad. Ladies and gentlemen, the teachers have not been mentioned for a long time in all of these conversations. But joining me this morning is Sir Ikechi Wogu. He is an educationist. He should be very interested in this development. Sir Wogu, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jude. Nice to see you again.
Indeed, it's a pleasure to see you. The last time we were here, we were giving away 1 million naira.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we're not giving away 1 million naira, but we're asking a 1 million naira question. Yeah. You are an educationist. Yeah. Having seen this report, this came about a few days ago.
Mm. Apparently, it's been ongoing.
Yeah, it's been ongoing, but now there's a simplified method to come through. Mm. You don't need a lot of certifications anymore. There's even a bit where they state that they're going to even teach you, even if you don't have a background in teaching.
Yeah, they are looking at what they call QTS, the qualified teacher status. So they have to, it's a benchmark. They have to get everyone to that standard so you can fit into the UK program. These are prepared nations. I think it's exciting. It's greater horizon for opportunities for teachers now.
Yeah, for teachers now, but let me ask you directly. Mm. Would you believe in us?
You mean me?
Yes, you. You are an educationist. You teach people directly and indirectly.
Yeah. I will never leave. We belong here. I belong here. I mean, for several years. okay, I've got my siblings here and there, and I visit them, and I come back. Funny enough, I just came back. I can't stay outside Nigeria for more than 2 weeks. That's me. I don't like it outside Nigeria for more than 2 weeks. Not because of the cold, not because of anything, but it's me. I love it in Nigeria. Not because of too much Nigeria offers me, but somehow we feel we are the designers of this nation, and we've got to make that change. It's my mindset. And I've had conversations with a lot of people. There are Nigerians who would not want to leave Nigeria. They could go for better opportunities. Yeah. Go study, go engage, and come back. So it's a mixed blessing. There are some who just want out of Nigeria. Any reason, they're out and they never want to come back. But a lot of these teachers will go run 5 years, 6 years, and come back.
During our first conversation this morning, we were talking about, you know, youth corpus, youth corps members in Nigeria. We asked if they should be restricted to teaching, since for at least almost 2 decades now, the government has been using them to fill in the stop gaps in many of the institutions, particularly the primary and secondary school in rural areas and some other communities across the Federation. A teacher called in and complained bitterly. I held myself from actually sharing this information with him. Complained bitterly that even the UCO members who come in, you know, a lot of them don't have the passion to teach. It's not a bad thing. Not everybody, you know, is designed to be, as it were, a transfer of knowledge medium. It's not that medium to transfer knowledge. But he complained about, you know, salaries not being paid, promotions not guaranteed, even deductions, even deducting from what they're not even paying in some cases. If that fellow is to hear now that there's an opportunity to leave this country, it's not going to create more problems. Don't forget, we are complaining, the Nigerian population is complaining that, look, doctors have been leaving in their droves. It's recorded that in some areas in Nigeria, you have one doctor to about 1,200 patients. That's a staggering figure. Teachers, we don't have a lot of data to that. But if you look at the secondary schools, primary schools, the person who called us, he says he teaches 6 subjects in school. If that person goes, who's going to teach his children?
Okay, so let's compare the two countries. Okay, there's a level of preparation. There's a lot of level of intentionality in the UK. They know what they want. You realize that the UK is not as blessed as we are in terms of natural resources, but the few they have, especially the human capacity, the human capital, they do everything. They've designed education in such a way that it lures you in. You come into any UK university, it's better than the 5-star hotels you see. It's better than anything you've ever seen in Nigeria. Like the UK universities. I mean, at random, just take a walk to any UK university. I love to do that sometimes. And you just get inspired. In fact, a few weeks ago, I was just walking past the secondary school. Okay. And I was like, is this a secondary school? And I just decided to take a stroll. And it looked like it was bigger than some of the polytechnics in Port Harcourt in terms of size, in terms of facilities.
Secondary school.
Yeah. And it's been on since 1874. Yeah. And it's an all-girls school, precisely in Manchester, right? Manchester College for Girls. And you see the sense of intentionality in the planning, in the design. I said 1874, not 19-something. So it's been on
for over 200 years.
Yeah. And you can imagine the crop of students they would have raised. And so every year, I was on a train, right? And I got to a certain city, right? And they said, this is home to so-so-so university. So here we pride with companies and all that. For them, they set up a university and then a community builds around that. They are intentional about education. Okay, this is Port Harcourt is developed. Let me go set a university up there. No, they go to some village and set up an institution and then the world revolves around that. Because the UK is keen on human capital development. And so they design everything. So it's a program from birth, right from when you're born, from cradle to career. It's a design. And so they pride about teaching because of the quality of delivery. So you want to be a footballer, there's a football academy, a school where there's a pathway set for you. You don't just play on the streets. I never saw a street child playing football like we do with oranges and all that. They are intentional. Okay? And you see every sphere of influence, okay, whether it's teaching, whether it's sports, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, they are prepared. to every extent. But Nigeria is not intentional about anything. So it's our design frames. We seem not to be committed to life, to the game of life. And so they have made life so attractive that you come in there and spend your money. And if you don't do that, they would not earn. Nigeria should ordinarily be a much richer country than the UK, but in terms of natural resources. But even in our natural resources, we're wasteful and we're still broke and we're still the poverty capital. So we need to get our acts together. When you talk about getting our acts together, it's a big deal.
Now, I remember, like I said, when I was back in primary school, this was what, late 90s. Mm. I just mentioned the names, Uncle Eric and Uncle George. These were Ghanaian teachers.
Mm.
At one point in time, it does, now that when I look back, I don't have the stats, and I'm not going to read out stats, but I won't talk about the impressions. The impressions we had as children then was that school in this country is good enough to get Ghanaians to come and work here, to come and teach here. My colleague, Kofi Bartels, his late father, was a mathematics teacher all the way from Ghana. When I got to university, my guidance and counseling instructor, my guidance counselor, was Cameroonian. And I've met some Gabonese as well. But I'm not saying that they're not there anymore today. But with this particular offer coming in, it's a lure. It's like you're trying to fish. You put the nice worm inside on the hook and put it inside the river. In this case, the river is Nigeria. A lot of people are worried that the teaching profession may not survive this.
The teaching profession will survive this. I'll tell you, in the 80s, I think those Ghanaians and Indians, my mom taught in a public school and she taught with Indian teachers. She taught with Ghanaian teachers. Ghanaian children were in our schools, Indian children. I attended public schools all my life, right? Never a private school. They were looking for opportunities. Remember the days of Ghana Must Go? Those were in the early 80s. Okay, we had a lot of Ghanaians until Nigerians said, just like xenophobia everywhere, we were also xenophobic at some point. Mm. And we came and we said, Ghana must go, and we chased all of them out of Nigeria. And they went back to their country and they began to fix things. And today we're going to Ghana to study, and they are saying Nigeria must go. The same thing with the Indians. Indians found green pastures here in Nigeria. Okay, and then they came in because there were opportunities. Today, we still have Indians in Nigeria, some of the car companies and all that. Okay, life is about opportunity creation. If you don't create opportunities, people will not be attracted to come because no one wants to come to a death trap.
True.
Yeah, and so Nigerians in Nigeria want to leave Nigeria if they consider Nigeria a death trap. If there's no security, if there's no life, if there's no welfare, if there's no healthcare, if there's no working system. And so it's about getting your system to work. So the best way to keep Nigerian teachers and Nigerian workers is to get our system to work, to ensure that you work and then you earn, and you earn as at when due. But look at the way teachers are treated with so much disdain, so much ridicule. It now becomes like, look, is it a problem to be a teacher? And these are the foundational breeders to whoever we will become. And then you become your president, your governor, your CEO, and then you don't even remember your teacher. I had a conversation once, so I wanted to mobilize some of my classmates to go do something, you know, for our school, our primary school. And the guy said, I'm so sorry, I don't remember anything about my primary school. How dare you say that? But you went, I asked him, but you remember you went to primary school? He said, yes, sir. I said, and what primary school was that? He said, I don't remember. So who was wrong? Was it the school or him? Even though, like I've said a number of things on radio sometime, grateful student index. Our schools don't make us grateful when we're leaving.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you, for example, our universities, okay, and all that, when you harass ladies and harass students, sex for grades, and
they don't.
Yeah. So you fail a course, not because you didn't do well, but because your teacher is victimizing you. You don't want to come back.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go on a break. When we come back, we're talking with Sir Ikechi Wogu this morning.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over here again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Well, Saike Chiwogo, before the phone lines start to go gaga on us, we were talking before the break, and you made mention of something I honestly have never heard before. That's the gratitude...
The Grateful Student Index.
The Grateful Student Index. Could you explain what that is, please?
Yeah, so the Grateful Student Index refers to what proportion... Okay, so if you want to run indices on how happy our students, our graduates are after passing through our institution, you realize that it's a very thin, very, very thin proportion of students who are happy, who say, wow, I attended this alma mater and everything was well. The teachers treated me nicely. Okay, the packaging, the seating arrangements, the classrooms, everything. You know, because you, almost every student at random stood somewhere in class. The classrooms were overpopulated. So there wasn't, the interest was more about money. So they bring in all sorts, not considering capacity.
MBA 1, University of Port Harcourt.
Yeah, so I had the same experience, okay? I wouldn't want to call the name of my institution for the sake of it. But, you know, I remember my experience when I was leaving school. It was a painful one, okay? Because even in that case, my name had been omitted. There was no electronic system at the time.
At the time.
So my name had been omitted from NYSC list for 3 years.
3 years?
So, yes, I left school at the time, and I had to stay back 3 extra. I went for service 3 years extra. I wasn't a student. I was done with school. But they just kept, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. And so it greeted me with a lot of pain. Mm. And so I said to myself, I'm never coming back here for anything called study. And I've kept that promise. I've attended other institutions afterwards. Okay? Not because the institution now is bad. But, you know, we have a mindset in Nigeria. You must suffer to get anything meaningful. It's a mindset. So even a lecturer would come into class and tell you the reason why I'm punishing you is because I was punished in my time as a student. And so that's meaningless.
That's transferred aggression.
Transferred aggression.
And I need to ask, if they're going to be lured away, you know, from the teaching practice because of things like this, who's to say they're not going to carry out the same measure when they get...
That's why there's training. There's a cleanup program. I remember it's a coveted place. The UK has designed this to be so juicy and everyone wants to come in. Okay, so you don't want to be the bad egg, okay? You don't want to be the one that will be repatriated because of bad behavior and all that. It's like you go to Accra. Everyone queues up. No one shunts. Driving the same Nigerian drivers driving Accra, driving the UK, and everyone obeys the rule. Give way to traffic on the left.
On the left.
Yeah, in the UK it's right hand drive. Yeah. Right. So everyone obeys. So Nigerians know how to recondition themselves when they get to a sane climb. That's why we call them saner climbs, because things are working. The traffic. How many Nigerians would beat traffic lights even in Ghana? But in Nigeria, we do that because you can settle the police and get away, settle the traffic and get away.
The same policeman that was taught by the teacher, the same politician taught by the teacher, the same banker taught by the teacher, but yet the teacher not getting the recognition of these individuals.
Yeah, victimization. So, but you look at it, it's an entire framework. Okay, the process of admission, you play some tricks, you get admitted. You play some tricks with jam, you get admitted, and all of that. And then, so that's why they say, like the certificate usually say excellence in character and learning.
Yeah.
So you could have excellence in learning, you have a fine grade, but character is zero. And that's why you have legislators who are fighting at the chambers. You have all of this. Now, compare the Nigerian legislative chambers with the UK legislative chamber. You see that there's somewhat a gap, okay, in our approach, in our mannerisms and all of that. Because they are framed in a certain way. Meanwhile, it's the same UK where you're not allowed to use a cane, a stick on your child. Children are talked to till they have their own misgivings, okay? They are racist and all that. It's not all green and beautiful over there.
Yes.
Because some persons are suffering a lot of stuff. Okay, look at what happened to Bukayo Saka. He's clearly Nigerian.
Yes,
and they are blaming him for the exit of it. But he scored. In fact, even the penalty, right? The first penalty that Harry Kane won and scored was won by Bukayo Saka, and he scored more goals.
Than Harry Kane.
But nobody they are sympathizing with Harry Kane, and so there's strong racism. Nigerians are not finding it all pleasurable over there in the UK, but it's this escapist mentality because the grounds here don't seem well prepared.
Okay, Saikechi is making a great point to encourage people not to leave. But it's time for us to open the mic and hand it over to you. Would you be lured, if you were a teacher right now, to go to the UK? Let's find out from you. 0179230002. 0179230003. 0179230007. And 0817923009. That is 0817923002. 0817923003. 0817-923-0007 and 0817-923-0009. At Nigeria Info PH is where you find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Dorothy Adigi is saying, yes, who not like better thing? This is an opportunity for teachers to explore in a decent and conducive environment plus good pay. 92.3, hello Port Harcourt. Good morning, please.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
My name is Gift, calling from Port Harcourt.
Good morning, Gift.
Well, if it is me, I would prefer to travel to go to,
the UK.
Yes, than to stay here in Nigeria, where after your 35 years of service, there will be no pension, no nothing. The government, they are not helping matters here.
He says he's going.
Yeah.
Facebook, Dorothy says she'll go. And they're giving very justifiable reasons.
Yeah.
92.3. Hello, Potato. Good morning, please.
Hi, cheers. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Dema.
Welcome, Dema.
I will definitely go. Most definitely. The reason is because I've also had an experience in education in the UK. And I've seen the attitude of the lecturers while I did my master's there. It was so, in fact, I actually shed tears because that is what I call education. For the very first time I attended school, I did my primary school, nursery school to the university as a DSC level in Nigeria, Port Harcourt precisely. But when I went to school for my master's, that was the first time I attended school, as far as I'm concerned. I've had an opportunity to teach here in one of our universities.
Okay.
But I turned it down. The reason is because when I went there, instead of me to see a little bit of improvement, all I saw was backwardness. It was just so sad. The reason why I would go to the UK is because I want to improve myself. I need an environment that will support me being a very good teacher. I've thought a little bit over here, but I needed something good, an environment that will enable me to do better. Do you know that I want to currently apply to a very good secondary school here in Nigeria? I prefer to go there than to go to one of our universities. That's how important it is to me to be in an environment that supports improvement in everything you're doing. We do not have it here. So the truth is, I will, if I'm there, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
She's there.
You know, we had an experience sometime around 2007. Okay, we were part of the overseas scholarship scheme, right? Helping a lot of Nigerian students, the best of the best of them. We had a program, Greater Horizon for Opportunities program. So we got children from the worst primary schools all across the state, right? And then we got the best of the best of them, like about 200 of them. And then we got them into private schools all around the nation. Okay, the state government, it was state government sponsored, you know, and it was amazing. Like after 2 weeks, you would not recognize. After the tests, we knew the children from the hinterland. By the time we were on the orientation, okay, we couldn't recognize any of the children because they had been lodged there, in a particular ground. They were fed and all that. Now, these children went across the nation and they became the top flyers in every school.
Fantastic.
Greater horizon for opportunities, right? Anyone who hears this would remember. And it wasn't the end of that. It was a program. So from secondary school, now you get overseas. Okay, so we had the overseas scholarship scheme.
Mm.
And there was a caveat. We were on a debate. How do we make these students come back?
Come back home.
Because, you know, the plan is go learn, come back and develop. That's what the nations are doing. There was a publication about 3-4 months ago. Chinese students in Canada don't spend the weekends in Canada. Chinese students in the UK. So a colleague of mine who schooled in Coventry,
yes,
was amazed that every Friday there's a plane to convey Chinese students. You don't see them over the weekend, except the ones that want to stay. They are back in China.
That's a very long flight.
Every weekend.
That's a very long flight.
They are back to the UK, to Coventry, on Monday morning for the first lecture. And the question is why?
I'm asking that question myself. Because apart from logistics, right?
Yeah.
The inconvenience, you're talking about nearly 8 to 12 hour flight, half a day flight,
yeah,
to go home for the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a joke. I thought he was exaggerating. Until I read it. I mean, even in Canada, Chinese students leave Canada and go back to China and come back for the next lectures on Monday. Why that? They interviewed some of the students. They said they prefer it in China. Lifestyle is cheaper in China and they want to grow the Chinese economy. Now, how many Nigerian students
think that way
in the diaspora think in the way of coming back to develop Nigeria? I mean, imagine the inconvenience of a 6-hour flight every weekend. So if all Nigerian students studying in the UK decided to come back to their Lagos and Port Harcourt.
But Taikechi, it costs a lot of money.
No, some of them is some bit of this is government funded.
Okay.
Because it's a program. Go and learn, come back. So it's transfer of knowledge, transfer of technology. Currently, the Chinese government has sent some sports stars into Brazil to go learn football like the Brazilians, because they are looking to a future where China will begin to win the World Cup. It's happening in the Olympics.
Yes.
At some point, China was terrible in sports.
I think in the 80s.
Yeah. They had to go over to set up, you know, Chinese Olympics training schools. And there's a program for sports. So China is not going for the Olympics to participate. They are going to win gold.
Dominate, and they have.
They're going to dominate. And you know what? They don't send in people to, I mean, their training schools. You don't see, I see like 1.5-year-olds, 2-year-olds. They're not being prepared for the next Olympics. They are prepared for the Olympics in 12 years' time. That's futuristic. Is there a program for anything in Nigeria? So why should I, like the Chinese students, leave my Coventry, leave my Manchester, and come back every weekend?
So you're saying the government now has to do things like that to make sure teachers don't leave?
Intentionality. So what bait do you have? With what formula are you wooing teachers to stay in Nigeria? Because there has to be, you have to prove to them that it's a preferred place here. But every other day you hear bangers. This is Christmas time. You hear bangers. You think it's a gun. You have to be careful. Insecurity, heartaches. Nigerians are suffering a lot of high blood pressure. There's a lot of tension in the atmosphere. And the government doesn't seem to. Now, no, I wouldn't want to say the government doesn't care. They are aloof. They really don't have answers to these questions. And so it's amazing. So we want it glorious. But we don't know how to create glory. And so we're going to suffer the brain drain. We're going to lose a lot of our very best.
So you do agree that the teaching profession is likely going to lose some key hands.
Amazing numbers. Amazing
from
numbers.
Next year.
Amazing numbers. But it's not going to make for the death of the teaching profession, because there are still teacher training institutions and we'll keep churning out teachers. I mean, a lot of those who are studying education in Nigeria are not studying that because they like education. Some of them just wanted to go to study medicine, but they couldn't find it. So they are doing physics education or chemistry education. And then they end up because there's no other job. Then someone says, okay, come and try your hands out. There's a recruitment. Come and try your hands out. And they get that job and they're putting body and soul together for the next 10 years, 20 years. So it wasn't their first love. It wasn't their passion. And anything that is not a passion becomes a chore.
92.3. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, please.
Yeah, Mr. Zion. To the doctor in the studio, question number one. How come Nigerian students, average that leave this country to foreign countries, average, they always come the best? Or they always summon the lead in the school abroad? Question number one. Question number two. Is 30 years ago, 25 years ago, or 20 years ago, there were real teachers that teach Nigerians. 20 years later, we will be having this kind of problem we'll be having, Mr. Zion.
Okay, all right. We have just about 2 minutes. I don't know if you can address
that. Yeah, very quickly. Nigerian learners are struggling learners. And they go through all thick and thin. So, okay, ASUU has called off the strike, for example. And students are made to crunch 8 months of no studies.
Into about three months.
And they'll write exams. So it makes them read. And they read really wide and vast and all that. But it's self-effort. Unlike in the UK, where they help you, they teach you. There is this kind of aid. There's every relevant technology and all that. So the Nigerian scholars come in there and, wow, this is... You know, I was eating a lot of rocks, and now I'm having to eat soft beans. It's not the same thing.
So they'll thrive better outside.
They'll thrive better. That's why.
All right.
It's a better environment. Okay. And then, secondly, to his second question, there isn't a program. We're talking of 30 years. If there was a program to say we're looking to 2050, 2100, this is the kind of nation we want to build, then there's a program like we have Vision 2020, and it is followed through beyond the papers. Then there'll be that kind of difference. But let's go beyond the books. We talk too much as Nigerians. Action time now.
All right. We talk too much as a Nigerian. And it seems as though the action has come to the doorstep. Who would have thought it that at one point we'll be complaining that teachers are leaving the country? We've complained about doctors, nurses, engineers, architects, IT specialists. Now, teachers. Well, we'll see what will happen. But we do know, as they say, what the sky portends when you look at it. You should look at the skies and should be able to tell if it's going to rain or if it will snow or if it will be a sunny day. So we do hope that from conversations like this, those who should do what they should do. My name is Jude Saikechi. Thank you very much, as always, for coming through.
My pleasure.
Do have yourself a wonderful day. Good morning.